إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, in everything has a foundation. Every building has a foundation. Every structure has a foundation. And that building and that structure is only as strong as the foundation. We have with us a brother who's worked on some of the tallest towers in the world, on Burj Khalifa and various other tall buildings. And when I see him again, I mean, he's here, but I can't see him just now. Anyway, there you are. I thought, I was wondering whether this is Ikhwan min al-insi wal-jinn, wallahu alam. So, alhamdulillah, I want to ask him, how deep is the foundation of that tower? Similarly, if you look at software, you have the foundation on which the software runs, what you call the OS, the operating system or the platform on which the software runs. Now, you know and I know that if the OS is corrupted, if the operating system is corrupted, if the platform is corrupted, then your software will not run properly. And changing the software will not help you. You can change all the software in the world. If the operating system is corrupted, if the operating system is faulty, not working properly, then all the software can't help that. You have to change the operating system, repair it, do whatever is required to make sure that the operating system works perfectly, and then the software also will work perfectly. The reason I'm saying that is because in our lives also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a platform. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a platform on which all our actions are based, and based on this platform all our actions will be judged. And that platform is our niyyah. The platform is the intention. And that is the reason why the first hadith in Bukhari, narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, who said that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that innama al-amalu bin niyyat, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa salam, that the reward of the deed is based on the intention. The reward of the deed is based on the intention. The intention is therefore the platform, it is the operating system on which everything else runs. Alhamdulillah, salah, is it a good deed or is it not a good deed? If I ask you that salah, is it a good deed or not a good deed? What is the answer? Good deed provided there is ikhlas in the niyyah. Why do I say that? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. So if salah is a good deed, then how do you say, what do you say about the ayah, فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ? Allah said, woe to the people who pray. So if I'm doing a good deed, then why is it that I am being cursed? And why is it that my deed is being rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu? Woe to the people who pray. فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. But Allah didn't leave it there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qualified that by saying who, what kind of musalli. أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَعُونَ. People who, woe to their salah is not accepted, those who delay the salah, and those who pray to show others. So the same salah, which is the first thing that will be questioned, that we will be questioned about when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith, he said that the one for whom that question is easy for him, the rest of his hisab will be easy. But the one who gets caught in that question of salah, for him the rest of it will be difficult. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us Jannatul Firdaus ul-Ala bi ghayri hisab, inshaAllah, and to make this hisab easy for us. But the same salah, if it is done with the wrong intention, why is delaying salah such a big deal? Think about this. After all, the man is praying. You can take a view and say, you know, why does Allah have to be so tough? After all, the man prayed. So he delayed it, so what? After all, there is a time. He did not miss the salah. He prayed Salatul Fajr in the time of Fajr. He prayed Salatul Dhuhr in the time of Dhuhr. He did not miss the salah. He is not missing it and then, you know, trying to make qada or something. No, he is praying within the... But he delayed it. So what is the big deal? Why is it a big deal? It is a big deal because why do you delay? You delay because you give precedence to what you want over what Allah wants. That is the single reason for delay. I mean, if there is delay where there is an emergency, where there is a fire, now you know I have to put out this fire, I've got to save lives or something, I'm driving an ambulance, I'm going for a call, and it's time for salah, I can't stop my ambulance and start praying there. So obviously either I pray while I'm driving or something and I reach that place. We're not talking about that. We are saying, I'm sitting here, I'm in a business meeting, maybe may Allah forgive us, we don't have to have business meetings for delaying of salah. We do it for all kinds of, IPL is good enough, all the World Cup is good enough and so on. So the point is that, what does that delay show? The delay shows a corruption of attitude, and the attitude is that me and what I want is more important than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if that is your attitude, keep your salah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala huwa samad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of anything from anyone, including our ibadat. Allah does not need our ibadat. By our ibadah, we are not doing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a favor. Allah does not increase or decrease because of our ibadah or our baghawat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu amma nawaluhu is in His glory and majesty without any increase or decrease by any of His makhluk. We do ibadah for ourselves to reiterate our own ubudiyat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if that ikhlas is not in your salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of this salah. And that is why, innamal amalu bin niyat. The reason I am starting the first Fajr reminder of this LEC Kuwait 2017, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of you for coming here, and we have people from different nationalities who have come from different places. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your coming and make this time a time full of khair and noor for you and give you hidayah and open doors for you in this dunya and in the akhirah in places that you could not even imagine that there were doors. And that's the reason why we need to begin with correcting our ikhlas. Why am I here? Why am I here? There is a hadith, it's called the hadith of the thalas, the hadith of the three. And the muhaddithun have said that this hadith is equal to 1/3 of knowledge. There are three ahadith which are said to be equal to 1/3 of knowledge each. The first one is innamal amalu bin niyat, which I mentioned. The second one is hadith of salat, which I'm going to talk about. And the third one is hadith Jibreel, which we know. All these three, they say these three hadith are equal to the sum total of knowledge. Wallahu a'lam. Why is it so important? Because of the kind of message that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us. The hadith of the salat is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that on the day of judgment, there are three people who will be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said the first of them will be a scholar, an alim, who has acquired a lot of knowledge in this life and who spent his life teaching this knowledge to people. And when he is presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. Whatever question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks is not because he needs to know the answer, but to establish witness in favor of the slave or against him, as the case might be. So wherever we hear a hadith, Allah asked this, Allah asked that, Allah asked the angels such and such, this is not because Allah needs to know. Allah knows. It is to establish a witness, establish evidence in favor of the slave, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put us and count us among those in whose favor evidence is established, or in the case where this evidence is against the person. We ask Allah to save us from that. So this person will be asked. Who will be asked? This alim, this great scholar of Islam, will be asked, what did you do in this life? What did you do in the life that you came from? And he will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, I acquired knowledge of ilm, of Islam. I spent my whole life, I dedicated my entire life to learning about Islam and to teaching this Islam to the people. This was my reason for existence. This is what I did. And it will be said to him, this is a lie. This is false. You acquired knowledge of Islam and you taught Islam not to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but so that you will be known as a great sheikh and as a great alim and as a great qari and as a great teacher. What is the man's statement? The man's statement is, I acquired this knowledge and I taught it for your pleasure. And it will be said to him, that is a lie. That is not the reason why you acquired the knowledge. That is not the reason why you dispersed this knowledge. You did that so you will be known as a great sheikh, as a great teacher, as a great alim, as a great mufti, as a great allama, as a great maulvi. And this happened. This was done. The world knew you as a great alim. So your intention, whatever it was fulfilled in the dunya. Here there is nothing for you, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person will be dragged and thrown into the hellfire. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a second person will be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a person who will be a great philanthropist, a person who is very saqi, a person who is very generous, and as a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given a lot of wealth, and this wealth he spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all forms of ways of khairat and sadaqat, all forms of charity. And this man will again be asked the same question, what is it that you did in life? And he will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, you blessed me with a lot of wealth and I spent all of this wealth in your path for your guide, for your pleasure. And I did this act of charity and I built that hospital and I built this school and I did this and I did that and I did that so that you would be pleased. And it will be said to that person, you lie. That is a lie, that is a falsehood. You did all of this so that you will be known as this great philanthropist who has dedicated all his wealth in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You did this so that people will praise you and honor you, and this happened, this was done. Here there is nothing for you, and the man will be taken and thrown into the hellfire. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a third person will be presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it will be asked, what did you do? And he will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, I dedicated my entire life to struggling and fighting in your path to establish Islam. And my whole life I spent in jihad fi sabilillah. And by your grace, I died in the field of battle and I was killed and I was a martyr, I was shaheed fi sabilillah. So not only did the man spend whatever his wealth, even his life he gave in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I did this so that you would be pleased with me. And it will be said to him, that is a lie. That is false. That is not the reason why you struggled in the path of Allah. That is not the reason why you fought in the path of Allah. You did that so that you will be known as a great warrior. You will be known as a person who struggled in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this happened. You were known in this way in the dunya. Allah gave you this Nobel Peace Prize. Here there is nothing for you. And the shaheed fi sabilillah will be thrown into the hellfire. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save our niyat and to give us ikhlas in our niyat and to ensure that our deeds as they are when they are presented before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will not be worthy of His acceptance, but we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our deeds and be pleased with them out of His grace and majesty and generosity. So therefore, my brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, let us focus on the ikhlas, the sincerity of our niyyah, of our intention. The sincerity of our intention is the basis on which all our actions, all our speech, whatever we do, will be assessed and judged. No matter what we do, and we have to act, we must do. But if we are doing all of that, making all this effort, but the niyyah has no ikhlas in it, the niyyah is to show the world, then that effort is completely and totally wasted. Today the sad reality is that we live in a world where the opposite is what is being sold to us. If you are a teacher, if you are doing a course, if you are teaching something, the first question people ask is, how many people came? How does it matter? Why is that number important? How many people came? How many people followed Nuh alayhi salam? How many people followed Ibrahim alayhi salam? So what shall we say about the Nubuwwat of Nuh alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam? How many people came? How many likes on Facebook? How many hits on YouTube? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Whatever little good you do, gone out of the window, because the focus is not on the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The focus is how many people liked me, how many people approved, how many people clapped, how many people said, Wallah, great Shaykh, Mashallah, beautiful Qiraat, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We need to be very, very clear in our minds and our hearts about the ikhlas with which we do something. Ikhlas, sincerity, the example that is given is, treat it like you are carrying a lot of money in your pocket and you are going through a place, maybe it's a fair or it's some marketplace which is crowded with people, lot of people right around you everywhere, and you have this money in your pocket. How will you go through that? Will you walk through the market without any care in the world and look at all the nice signs and sights and this and that? Or will you be completely concerned about this money in my pocket? You have one hand on your pocket to make sure that this money is not stolen. When I was in my teens, I went to Bombay for the first time, before it was called Mumbai. So I was in my teens and I was in Bombay, and My host said, you know, you should go around and see this great city. And that was incidentally the first time I saw an apartment building. Because I came from Hyderabad, we had no such thing. There were no apartment buildings in Hyderabad. Can you believe it? The Hyderabad is here. Equanimity. So my first shock was, my God, people can actually live like this, one on top of the other. I mean, what is this? So they said to me, so how do you travel? Local train. So they said to me, be careful with your money. Otherwise, local trains are famous for, you know, pickpockets. There is a wonderful story about this guy who challenged. And he said, no pickpocket can pick my pocket. So he kept his wallet in his pocket and he said, it's a challenge, nobody can pick my pocket. So when he got home, his wallet was there. So he pulled out his wallet and inside the wallet there was a slip of paper saying, I picked your pocket and put the wallet back in your pocket. So that is how good Bombay pickpockets were, and I'm sure they are better now because of a number of years of practice. But alhamdulillah, my money was never stolen. You know why? Because I used to keep it in my socks. They can't pick your pocket if there is nothing in the pocket. I used to keep my money in my socks. This is how we have to protect our niya. Not put the niya in the socks and just say, make sure that we are constantly aware. Somebody asked Shaykh Ibn al-Uthaymeen rahmatullah alayhi. He said, ya Shaykhana, I have a good recitation. So whenever I am with people, they push me forward to lead salah. And when I am reading Quran, when I am reciting in salah, the thought comes to me that I am reciting to please the people, not to please Allah. So I immediately shortened my recitation. If I had intended to recite maybe 30, 40 ayat, I reduce it, I finish with whichever I am reciting and I go into ruku. And this troubles me. I mean, what must I do? Because I think my niyat is correct. When I'm standing for the salah, I purify my niyat, I make tawbah. But this thought comes. And I don't want to lose my salah. Because imagine, if a person is praying with the intention or with this thought of pleasing people, then that person is actually committing shirk. And he's committing shirk in salah. I mean, what's worse than that? So he said, what must I do? This is really troubling me, bothering me. My heart is not at rest. And may Allah bless the Shaykh. Beautiful advice. He said to him, when that thought comes in your mind, do two things. He said, first thing is immediately make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In your salah, in your intention, in your heart, make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask, make istighfar, ask forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, the second thing is increase the length of your recitation. If you decided to recite 30, he said, recite 60. He said, beat the shaitan. He's saying this too, so that the khushu that people are getting because of your recitation, to spoil the khushu, he is putting this thought in your heart. So increase the recitation, but make tawbah first. So similarly, if you are giving charity, for example, somebody asks you for some money, you take out the money from your pocket, and you are giving charity, and shaitan says, oh, mashallah, what a great man you are, you know, oh, great charity. So he's trying to spoil your intention. What must you do? Make tawbah and give more, and give more, and give more until he runs away. Shaitan will run away because, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this. Inna shaitana aduun, fattakhizhu aduwa. Allah said, he is your enemy, you become his enemy. The shaitan is your enemy, you become his enemy. So constant awareness of our niyyah. I'm saying this because alhamdulillah, may Allah bless you who came from long distances Even those who are from Kuwait, who are living here, you have taken the time out of 4 days completely dedicated only to yourselves, so that you do something good for yourself, so that you can learn how to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Don't allow that time to be spoiled by the corruption of the niyyah. To show somebody to do this, to do that, make absolutely certain that the niyyah is full of ikhlas. And as I said, how to do that? By constantly checking the niyyah. If you've got money in your pocket, you're going through this crowd, what will you do? Keep your hand on your pocket, continuously check. Is my money still there? Is it gone? Continuously check the niyyah again and again. And continuously make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect that niyyah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to be pleased with you, to accept your coming, to make it easy for you, to open the doors of hidayat for you, and to make each one of you a means of guidance for everyone who comes into contact with you in any way for the rest of your life, inshallah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you the words which will reach the hearts of people, because they will come from your heart. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make your actions a means of guidance and a means of an example of how to live life as a Muslim, so that people are inspired by you and by your actions. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guard your niyyah and to guard your intention in a way where it cannot be corrupted by shaitan, and to receive you and your amal and your niyyah in a way that pleases His glory and majesty. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.